are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. Good evening once again, and welcome to tonight's very special edition of Beating Neuropathy. And what we're going to do tonight is to address some of the common questions that we have regarding exercise in patients with peripheral neuropathy, and then we're also going to reference some of the literature that talks about exercise, as well as, of course, our clinical experience with peripheral neuropathy and, indeed, many types of chronic pain. But there are a couple things that we should talk about first and foremost, and that is that you need to understand that this is not a blanket recommendation to go out and start vigorous exercise without proper screening. Keep in mind that many patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy have a whole host of potential or real medical conditions going on, and the best thing you can do is to get yourself connected with a cardiologist. If necessary, undergo stress testing, have a better idea of what your physical capacity may actually be. But short of that, let's also please not overlook common sense. You know, a couple issues which can be very, very significant in patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy include proper fitting footwear and the importance of wearing footwear throughout the day, especially when engaging in any type of physical activity, even sometimes as simply as getting around the house. Now, if you're diabetic and have any skin fragility, it's even much more important to make sure that your feet are continually protected. So good footwear, proper fitting footwear is imperative. The second thing to keep in mind is that if you have issues with regard to balance and a gait alteration and so on, you should not be participating in these exercises by yourself. This is why, just as in other forms of neuropathy treatment, we always find that the assistance of a qualified physical therapist, especially in the beginning of treatment, can make a huge difference. You know, in the proper physical therapy setting, we have access in the clinic to things like balance boards, balance beams, handrails, etc., that can go a long way towards helping restore balance. So, as always, and we speak about this in our books and in our writings, whenever professional care is available, you should seek it out, especially when you're first beginning an exercise program after the diagnosis or after the development or awareness of increased peripheral neuropathy. So, again, common sense guidelines dictate foot care, footwear, and balance and fall protection. These are absolutely essential. Now let's talk about some of the common mistakes with regard to exercise. Number one is some patients believe that exercising while they have peripheral neuropathy is not good. And in some cases, this is true. We know, for example, that if you are diabetic and you are in a fragile state, or what is sometimes called a brittle state in the management of diabetes, that you should not be exercising, at least until the crisis is over and you are much more well-regulated and stabilized. The second area you need to be very careful of, once again, especially with regard to diabetes, if there is skin fragility or there's a history of an ulceration or there's a possibility of creating an ulceration because sensation's impaired, you've got to be extraordinarily careful, because one of the side effects of peripheral neuropathy, of course, is a loss of sensation. So it is possible to create a cut, a tear, or laceration, which can create more problems to the point that you will not be able to perceive them or feel them. And this can, of course, lead to some significant negative side effects, not the least of which is infection. So it's absolutely essential that you be very, very careful with regard to participation in exercise in this regard. Another thing that I want to caution you on is the use of treadmills. Treadmills in both patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy and not are very popular pieces of exercise equipment, but they're not necessarily the best piece of equipment for a number of reasons. One reason is that treadmills in particular tend to create a lot of vibration, and vibration in and of itself over a short enough period of time may actually be stimulatory and beneficial for neuropathy, But for many patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy and many forms of chronic pain, the prolonged vibration, as naturally occurs in most treadmills, can be very irritating, so you want to be careful. The second thing is that it is possible to walk on a treadmill, especially slowly, and not really vigorously engage the largest muscles of the thighs. As I speak about repeatedly and as I tell patients all the time, it's the large muscles of the thighs that really are the furnace of the body, and these are the ones that you want to exercise. So oftentimes a better way to exercise these, especially in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, is the use of exercise bikes and bicycle-like devices. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about these devices, where you can get them, how you can get a little more information about them, and so on. So once again, you are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must ask today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes, and welcome back to tonight's radio show, Beating Neuropathy Radio. Tonight, we're talking about exercise in the peripheral neuropathy patient. Before the break, we talked a little bit about preferences with regard to exercise equipment, and we spoke about the possible liabilities or adverse effects that the use of treadmills can bring to neuropathy patients. Our experience is that many neuropathy patients, especially early on, are far better suited for bicycling for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, is there's less potential for falling. Number two is that they tend to, especially with proper footwear, create less pressure on the feet, which especially in the beginning or flare-up stages of peripheral neuropathy can be a huge advantage. It's not necessary to get extraordinarily elaborate, and I'll tell you what my favorite approaches are. Number one is if you are or your family member who you're listening for is significantly debilitated, there are some physical therapy pedal wheels that may be a better start in the beginning than a bicycle. However, if you can purchase a bicycle, I actually recommend, if at all possible, that you do get a bicycle just like you would ride outside and actually put it on a stand. There are stands called trainers, sometimes called wind trainers, where you can very easily mount the exercise or mount the bicycle on. And in essence, what you've done is to convert your road bike into an exercise bike for the home. The reason I recommend this is that these bikes tend to fit patients much better. It's very important when you're on these bikes that you have a complete downstroke available, meaning that when you depress the pedal, you are actually able to get virtually full extension in the knee. This is very important to avoid the creation of muscle cramps and muscle spasms, and indeed creating further injury to patients who suffer from conditions which commonly accompany back pain, like peripheral neuropathy, and so on and so forth. So you need to keep in mind that the positioning is everything, and exercising properly will make a huge impact on your outcome. Because let's face it, the purpose of exercise really is to create more blood flow. In healthcare, of course, we call this vasodilation, which basically means opening up those blood vessels, getting the blood flow, or what's called perfusion of the tissue. This is imperative because the way that the nerves and the nerve endings are going to heal is by getting more oxygen and more nutrients carried to them, and exercise, as well as keeping the particular body part, such as the hands and feet, warm, goes a long way towards making this happen. You know, there are also some other things that can be done, such as certain nutrients, nutrients in particular that cause vasodilation, or things like L-arginine, and so on. So anything that helps to open up blood vessels, such as keeping warm and adequate peripheral vasodilation, such as occurs in exercise, can really have a very, very significant benefit on your neuropathy. Now, of course, there are some exceptions, and we mentioned some of those earlier. So as always, the caveat here is to make sure you're working with a highly trained professional who knows not just you, but knows enough about peripheral neuropathy to be giving you personalized professional advice. And once again, as we speak about all the time, this is one of the best reasons to be working with a professional, especially in the beginning phases, so you can, in fact, get some hands-on attention and get some guidance. For example, when we give patients exercise prescriptions in the clinic, in addition to observing the changes that might be happening in the feet, the hips, and the lower back, we're also observing and measuring things such as changes in body temperature, changes in skin temperature, as occurs in the feet and the hands. And this also provides us as clinicians very, very critical information on what's happening, and also tells us a lot more about progress. For example, if we initially note some discrepancy in temperature, one of the things that commonly happens with good neuropathy treatment and a good neuropathy exercise program is that skin temperatures actually start to increase. And one of the reasons this is important is it does show us very often this is a sign of recovery. When the autonomic nervous system starts to respond better, what will happen is patients will have more normal vasodilation. In other words, they'll have a more normal reaction to exercise. And in the clinic, this is very easily measurable by special thermometers that allow us to gauge your skin temperature. So once again, keep in mind that supervision, especially early on, can go a long way. The other thing to keep in mind is that once you've been given the green light to exercise by your physicians and other treating clinicians, keep in mind that you can really help yourself along by making sure that you have the best footwear possible, and that in the case of a bicycle, you actually have a bicycle, either a road bike, as we recommend, or a stationary bike that fits you properly. And, of course, one of the best places to do this is with somebody who fits bicycles for a living. So assisting somebody at a sporting goods store or preferably bicycle store can really go a long way towards making this a much more efficient project for you. You know, and one of the nice things is as you do recover and as you do make more progress, if you can get yourself outside and exercise, that by far is the best thing you can do. If you can safely walk without assistance outside, that's wonderful. Even better as you improve, if your balance is not impaired significantly to the point that you can ride a bicycle outside, you will find yourself doing far better. So once again, you are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain here on Beating Neuropathy Radio. And we come back from the next break, we're going to talk about some of the studies and what they tell us with regard to exercise in the peripheral neuropathy patient. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. You are listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio. Welcome back to tonight's show. Before the break, we were talking about exercise. We're talking about variables in exercise, most especially with regard to getting some professional attention first and then moving onward and engaging into active exercise. We spoke about the importance of proper footwear. If you're using a bicycle, make sure that the bicycle is fitted for you, et cetera, and fitted properly. But one of the things that I wanted to do next is to talk a little bit about what the literature, meaning research, shows us with regard to exercise and peripheral neuropathy. And I will tell you that this concept of having patients with peripheral neuropathy is relatively new. The American College of Sports Medicine recently updated their guidelines, which state now that patients with peripheral neuropathy should be engaging in moderate physical exercise, and as always, especially in the beginning stages, under supervision. You know, lots of good things happen and good things come out of the clinic in the beginning, especially when you receive some professional attention. Anything you do at home, of course, should be based upon what your professionals have already taught you, and then you simply add the common sense components to that, and you'll find yourself doing far better. But what does exercise actually accomplish? Well, the reality is, from our experience in our clinics, we know that most patients who have peripheral neuropathy, as they can increase their physical therapy and exercise tolerance, do far better than those who don't. Now, there are, of course, some exceptions, and those exceptions would be patients who are unfortunately suffering from active cancer or possibly undergoing chemotherapy, and post-surgical patients are obviously very limited in what they can do physically. However, as we write about all the time and talk about on these shows, even if you or someone you love has recently gone through a surgery or a bout with cancer or chemotherapy, as you enter the recovery phases and recovery stages, exercise may simply mean getting out of bed more often. And that's fine. If that's what it is in the beginning, that's fine. My point is this, and that is we just want to make sure that our patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy are engaged in safe physical activity, but they are doing as much as they can every day. One of the other things that's really important to understand is that one of the worst things that we can do, even if you don't suffer from peripheral neuropathy, is remain sedentary or still for more than 90 minutes at a time. Why is this? Well, the reason for this is that we know from good studies that when we remain immobile for as little as 90 minutes, our bodies become less efficient metabolically, meaning we become far less efficient at burning fuel, and the net result is we tend to become stiff, we tend to become achy, but more than that, we tend to become much better fat-storing machines. Why is this? Well, it's simply because lack of activity causes our metabolism to slow down, meaning we store fat rather than burn fat. One other thing that it does for us that's very negative in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy is it also tends to lower our body temperature. You may have had this experience yourself or observed this in somebody you love. If you have or know somebody who suffers from peripheral neuropathy or indeed many forms of chronic pain, as I see and tell patients all the time, if you get chilled or get cold especially, this can tend to make you very sore and achy sometime for the rest of the day, which is why it's very important to stay warm. So one of the other tips that we have for you, in addition to making sure that you are moving frequently and moving enough, is to make sure that you're keeping your body temperature warm. Now, if this means that you need to wear 3 or 4 layers of light wool or silk or microfiber, whatever is your favorite, all year round, so be it. I would much rather have a patient need to take off a layer or two than to become chilled, because once you become chilled, especially in your extremities, meaning your hands and your feet, the net result is any home neuropathy treatment that you're doing will be far less effective. And number two, your pain threshold is going to be lower, so you will tend to be more stiff, more achy, and generally more uncomfortable. Likewise, many peripheral neuropathy patients, especially as they recover, will find benefit from wearing microfiber socks or wool socks or sometimes even what are called therapy socks. therapy socks are socks that are woven with a special reflective material that actually bounces heat back into your feet. You can also, in some cases, consider wearing electric stockings. Again, this is not something that is a blanket recommendation, and we don't recommend this without supervision because, of course, one of the features of patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, of course, is that we oftentimes do have impaired sensation. So it's critical not to do anything which could cause skin damage or burns. But in the clinic especially, where we can monitor you with temperature and temperature measurements, special thermometers, etc., infrared thermometers, this can be another very, very valuable tool. Likewise, if you're doing any neuropathy treatment, such as warm baths with Epsom salts and that type of thing, maintaining accurate temperatures, again, such as making sure the water temperature never exceeds 100 degrees Fahrenheit, could go a long way towards making sure that you are having a successful outcome. Now, why do I mention this? Well, in the context of exercise, we do find that one of the places where neuropathy patients will often get some significant relief is if they're able to exercise in warm water. This, of course, could be a pool, you know, possibly a hot tub under supervision. Again, caution is advised, especially when you're getting out of these tubs or pools, because your blood vessels will naturally be more dilated. You've got to be very cautious with regard to dizziness and falls, etc. So, once again, be prudent, work with some assistance, but keep in mind that more activity and more frequent activity is going to have a significant benefit in not only your potential recovery, but also your quality of life. So, what have we done in the last few minutes? We've spoken a little bit more about the importance of keeping our core warm. We've also spoken about keeping our periphery warm, meaning our hands and the feet, with the use of possibly reflective garments like therapy socks, or my current favorites, which are microfiber or smart wool socks. Ski socks, if you can get them on, are perhaps some of the best items you can purchase if you suffer from peripheral neuropathy. The same goes for your hands if neuropathy affects your hands. Using gloves or garments that will keep you warm and keep your blood vessels open oftentimes is tolerated very, very well. So once again, you were listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain here on Beating Neuropathy Radio. And what I'd like to do before I wrap up tonight's show, as I promised at the top of the hour, is to just talk a little bit more about what is showing up in the literature with regard to exercise and peripheral neuropathy. And I am going to post these references on our Facebook page because I think it's worth diving into, especially if you are a healthcare professional or perhaps have a physical therapy member or a chiropractic or physical medicine specialist in your family. They may be interested in this too. But the first article I'm going to post was published in the Journal of the American Physical Therapy Association, the Journal of Physical Therapy. This was published in January of 2012, and the title of the article is A Moderate Intensity Weight-Bearing Exercise Program for a Person with Type 2 Diabetes and Peripheral Neuropathy. The reason that I like this article is this was a very well-done case study where the patient was a 76-year-old diabetic man who had a 30-year history of diabetes and peripheral neuropathy. Well, he participated with a physical therapy team under supervision in a 12-week moderate intensity progressive exercise program. What do we mean by this? Well, he actually got his heart rate up to about 75% of his maximum, which is a significant level, especially for somebody who suffers from peripheral neuropathy. This particular exercise program under supervision involved walking on a treadmill, balance exercises, as we spoke about at the top of today's show, and then also strengthening exercises for the legs, in other words, the lower extremities, using body weight resistance. Again, an excellent physical therapy program, very similar to the types of programs that we have found to be successful in our clinics. And the thing that was quite nice about this is that it did show that even in a patient who suffered from peripheral neuropathy for 30 years, this person was able to make some improvements, not only in his quality of life, but also some measurable changes in things like body weight and also his hemoglobin A1C. For those of you who don't know, hemoglobin A1C is a measure of blood sugar, in improving hemoglobin A1C measurements has been associated directly with improvement in peripheral neuropathy and quality of life in patients who are both diabetic and as well in patients who suffer from metabolic syndrome. It is also well known that aerobic exercise is one of the best ways to reduce or improve hemoglobin A1C. So that was one reference article. And again, I'm going to post the links for you on our Facebook Beating Neuropathy page so you can dive in if you're interested. There was another good study that appeared, and this actually appeared in Biomed Central on the musculoskeletal disorders channel, so to speak. And this article was also published in 2012. It's from March. And the title of this is The Effects of a Combined Strengthening, Stretching, and Functional Training Program versus Usual Care on Gait Biomechanics and Foot Function for Diabetic Neuropathy. And basically what this study tried to demonstrate is that specific instructions and specific ways to exercise and plant the feet in the physical therapy setting when applied to diabetic patients in particular can actually reduce the risk of foot injury and complications of neuropathy such as diabetic ulceration. So once again, a very good study. And then one last study I want to reference for this week's show actually came from the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation from the Faculty of Medicine in Ankara, Turkey. And this was entitled The Effects of Peripheral Neuropathy on Exercise Capacity and Quality of Life in Patients with COPD or Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease. And this is a highly technical article, but I include this for anybody who's listening who may be a physical therapist or healthcare professional because it talks not only about how COPD can affect neuropathy, but it also talks about how difficult it can be for patients who suffer from COPD to exercise and its potential impact on peripheral neuropathy. So once again, I'm going to post these links for you on Facebook, Beating Neuropathy. But let me say, as always, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you with me. I hope you have learned some things once again from tonight's show, and we look forward to having you on next week's show. So I wish you and your family the very best this evening, and I look forward to having you visit with us on our very, very next show. Good night now.